is our last lesson on Romans, and I'm going to attack it a little differently than you expected. And probably if you were like most people, you read right through those names, not reading them. However, if your name was in there, you would want everybody to read it. So look at it that way. Okay, let's ask the Lord to help us to understand this, because I think this chapter in Romans is so great, and I hope you feel the same way by the time we're done. Father, we thank you again for your precious word, and the book of Romans is everything we need. Right from the very beginning, when we started studying who you are and what you expect. And Lord, it's so easy to point fingers at others, and yet we need to point the fingers at ourselves to get our own lives straight with you. Lord, thank you that you work with us, and you're gentle and you're caring, and you want us to become dependent on you, trust you. And just like the song said this morning, there's no happiness without trusting and obeying. Nothing has changed. So teach us, Lord. Be our teacher. Open up our hearts and minds to receive this. It's such an important lesson, for we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Yeah, many people ignore Romans 16 because they see that big, long list of names, and most of those people are dead or gone. But I think this is one of the most exciting chapters in the book of Romans. And you say, well, that figures, Liz, is a little crazy like that. So, but there's something in all of us that would like to see our names preserved in stone or in cement at least. But here in Romans 16 is a list of names of men and women who never knew they were going to be famous. Just think, all over the world where the Bible is, their names have gone there. Just think how famous that is. Now, these names are mentioned only because they were personal friends of Paul's in Rome, and they were with him in the city of Corinth where this letter was written. So in the first 24 verses, 33 names are mentioned. 9 of these people were with Paul, 8 men, 1 woman, and they were with him in Corinth. Then there's 24 names of people who were already in Rome. 17 men, 7 women, and 2 households are mentioned, and 2 unnamed women, such as the mother of Rufus, and this will be an important person here soon, as we'll see, and then the sister of Nereus. Now, I have up here how to pronounce all these names. I made the mistake of calling my son, and he had the Greek in front of him, and was trying to tell me what they were. I couldn't follow him. I said, yours is not the New King James. I'm going to have to follow the New King James. However, this is the Old King James because it's the only one I got names in with the pronunciations. But we'll struggle together, okay? Well, there are some unnamed brethren too, so there's quite a list of people. But the apostle knew these people personally, and they'd gone to Rome. And he hadn't gone to Rome yet. Remember this from studying the book of Acts last year. He had a very difficult time getting to Rome because of shipwrecks and all kinds of things. But he finally got there, and these people were already there. We have a tendency to think that travel days back in Paul's day were just tedious and long, and that's true, but people moved about. If you and I had to take several weeks to get someplace and had to take a couple of ships and we'd probably stay home. But in that day, they moved about quite a bit. And I'm curious to, I've been trying to figure out why there were so many had gone on to Rome. And I think it just might be they had heard Paul was going there. And I think they wanted to be where he was. But today, of course, it takes less than an hour to go any place from Greece to Rome to wherever by plane. So, well, the first 16 verses is this list, and then he goes into warning them about phony Christians, and we still need that warning today. And then there's a greeting at the end with the people who are with him in Corinth, where he wrote this letter. And then, of course, I had a nice little question in there. I thought, Paul wrote this letter. So I hope you had some fun with that. So, but he sends greetings here to the church that will be in Rome. And he's grateful for the woman Phoebe. Now, she's the first person mentioned, but it's her faithfulness of taking this scroll of Romans to Rome. It was a dangerous trip and hazardous. And she lived in a place called Centuria. It was outside of Corinth, but Paul asked her to take the letter to Centuria, and from Centuria rather to Rome. And I can imagine if it had been me, I would have been feeling underneath my garments to make sure I had it, that it hadn't dropped out. Can you imagine if we didn't have the book of Romans today, how poor we would be? But when you get to heaven, now you can thank Phoebe for getting that letter all the way over there. And it helps so many, and she helps so many, including Paul, and he says, take care of her when she comes. Aren't you impressed about the number of women that Paul mentions? They handled important tasks within the church according to their gifts. There's a strong suggestion that Phoebe was also a teacher and an evangelist, definitely a co-laborer with the gospel with Paul. Other than that, we don't know much about her. But she has a name that's preserved forever. So you can look her up when you get to heaven and thank her for carrying that scroll. She probably has some hairy tales to tell you about it too. So, and then you remember Aquila and Priscilla. In fact, it's the other way around. Five times they're mentioned in Scripture, and it's Priscilla is first and then Aquila. And I found out that that meant something. It meant that she was probably an evangelist also, not her husband, or at least a teacher. And remember what we learned about them in Acts 18? They were tent makers along with Paul. And so Paul and Aquila and Priscilla were making these tents, and Paul led them to the Lord. So they began to have a church wherever they landed, and they made tents to have cash on hand. But it was dangerous to have a church home in your home in Ephesus, because there quite a riot had broken out there over Paul being there. And but I thought, you know, these folks had three homes where they had church they housed churches in their home. Do you know, it wasn't until 300 AD that there was ever a church built. You always met in homes. And I kind of feel the way the country, the world's going, this may happen again. We may be meeting in homes, and but that's nothing new. So it was 300 years. That's quite a while. So Paul met in their homes, three different places, and I thought, wow, you know, that Priscilla and Aquila must have been pretty rich to have three homes. But Paul mentions them, and they were his friends. And then we go on to another friend. His name was, and I got to work on this one, Epaphroditus. Close. That's close. He was the first convert in Asia. Now, this is not Chinese Asia. This is Asia Minor, which would be Turkey today. And he was the first convert there. I thought that was pretty great. He had never been forgotten by Paul, because the first convert in a place just stays in your heart and you remember him forever. And he believed the gospel and was wonderfully saved. And that's when Paul came to the province of Turkey. You never forget him. But don't forget Mary. Paul had a name for her. It was Mary the Toiler, because she worked so hard for the gospel. And Paul reminded him, please remember Mary. She's worked so hard. And then, of course, we had Andronicus. And we could say that pretty good, huh? Because there's such a store, a couple of stores around by that name, Greek names. But Junius was also with Andronicus, and Paul says these were my relatives, and they had been in prison with him. I just thought, wouldn't that have been quite an experience, being in prison with Paul? They'd be singing hymns at midnight and rejoicing in the Lord. But these two people, these two fellows, had come to Christ before Paul had. So I thought that was even more interesting. And then Paul goes on to say, greet Ampliatus, close, Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord, and greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, my dear friend Stachius, greet Apelles. He had been tested by the Lord and was approved in Christ. What a stamp of approval, you know? Would the Lord put that on you today? You've been proven, and I put my stamp of approval on you. Greet Apelles, and he's been tested also. Now, Junia and Junius, were male and female. We don't know if they were married or whether they were brother and sister. Seems like their names are so close together, it might be that they were brother and sister. But also, Paul says that they were his relatives. Ampliatus is a very interesting name. In the cemetery, in the catacombs, for some of you who have been there, as you remember walking through all these underground tunnels of skulls and bones of all the martyrs that had been killed by the emperors that underground. But Ampliatus apparently was a slave, but he because he only had a single name, and that's why they thought he was a slave. But they decorated his niche with all kinds of jewelry and buttons and all kinds of things, because he was so honored among the people. And you can go there this day and find that. It's not the best experience going through all those tombs, but it's it brings it home how the first Christians were martyred. So he was highly respected. We don't know much about Urbanus or Stachius. Somewhere, Urbanus joined Paul's team, and Stachius was his dear friend, so they went together. Again, Apelles had been tested and approved in Christ. And Apelles, the name means called. Christians, and there were beginning to be Christians in high places. That's the thing that you have to remember here. Greet those in the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herod's. Apparently, this was Herodian's relative, and he was in this household, and he was a Christian. And Narcissus also was a Christian, who were in the Lord. And these either were slaves or they worked in these people of the Roman Empire. I can't look at this and say it. Aristobulus may have been the grandson of King Herod the Great, who lived in Rome. And I think it's interesting that he was a Christian. He was a friend of Emperor Claudius, and Claudius was murdered, and Herodian had Herodian also murdered because he had become a Christian. When Nero came to the throne, he forced Narcissus to commit suicide. And he had had many other Christian people commit suicide because that's how he took care of them. Now, a Christian witness had been established in the heart of the Roman Empire. Just think of that. Though many lost their lives and many were martyred, there still was a witness within the Roman Empire. Then Typhonia and Tryphosa, I brutalized that. But I think they might have been twins because their names are very similar. These were women who worked hard, and they greeted some of these friends that Paul had told them to greet. And then he says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. And remember, his mother was the one that took Paul in, as well as someone else, and was like a mother to them. How special. But I think the special thing about Rufus is that he's the brother of Alexander. Now, who was their father? Was Simon of Cyrene. And this Sunday, you probably will hear about Simon of Cyrene helping the Lord carry his cross. So when you start looking at these names, you realize that Rufus and Alexander both had come to the Lord, and their mother had come to the Lord, and others in the family had come to the Lord. How special. They were all from North Africa. And the interesting thing is that when he came to town, Simon of Cyrene, he had no thought about Jesus and this cross. His thought was to celebrate the Passover. And so he was just dragged into this. But how special. They all came to know the Lord. And then in verses 15 through 16, it says, if I look at it, I can't say it. Let's see. Philocphus. That's not even close. Anyway. Philocphus. It means lover of the word. So that probably wasn't his name, but I thought to myself, if I have a cement plaque on my grave, I won't because we're being cremated, but I would like to be called that, lover of the word, because I do. I love the word. You can't get enough out of it. And as I say, you probably just kind of went over these names, and I think they're just so special. They haven't been forgotten. They're not forgotten by Paul. They aren't forgotten by God. Well, Nereus may have been a housekeeper of the famous Roman citizen Flavius Clemens, later became consul of Rome, the highest political office in the city, who in 95 AD was condemned to death by the Emperor Domitian because he became a Christian. His wife, Domitilla, also a Christian, was banished from the emperor, from the empire. Before Paul made it to Rome, Roman society was already infiltrated by the gospel. That's why Paul could say at the beginning of this letter, your faith is being reported all over the world. Can you imagine? Paul warns about, there's a group though that coming into the church, and this is seems to be always the case. They have one point of doctrine that they're trying to push and try to pull people out of the true faith. Now, you and I both know there's not one point of doctrine. We're studying doctrine upon doctrine upon doctrine. And there's a lot to it. If somebody comes into your church or comes in and says there's only one point you have to worry about, just know that if you just say you love God, then he'll love you back by giving you all this money and a good position and a nice house and good car and all that stuff. Yeah, right. You know who's behind that? It's the enemy. You don't need all that stuff. So Paul warns us about their doctrine, and he could still warn us today because we still run into it. And they are definitely obstacles to faith. They feed their own appetite, they smooth talk, they use flattery, and they deceive minds. And if you follow them, you're getting out in left field, and it's not a good place to be. Make sure that any church you're in teaches the Word of God, the whole Word of God, and that you're studying it yourself. Don't go off trying to find some easy way. I know when I was a brand new Christian, I wish I could take a pill that I could take and know the scriptures. Guess what? I had to work hard to learn the scriptures, and I'm still working hard at it. But no such pill, so don't go looking for it. But they would try to deceive the minds of naive people. And the best counteract to that is to know the Word of God. Know it. And I sometimes I have something that's on television, and some guy is teaching some nonsense, and I sit there and I can quote scripture at him. And that makes me feel good. Because I never used to be able to do that. Now I can do that. So Paul tells them to be wise about what is evil. Yeah, you don't have to get in the garbage can to find out it's dirty. It is. But judging by Paul's language here, these groups are not believers. They emphasize one portion of scripture or one part of doctrine or teaching to the exclusion of everything else. And they might be able to fill a stadium or have thousands following them, but it's a Christianity that you don't want to be a part of. They go to the banks every week and their money is spilling over, and they're not right on. So Paul says to ignore them, keep away, don't follow them, don't get involved with them, and I just really emphasize, know your Bible. Well, what was that mystery that Paul was talking about? The mystery simply was Gentiles and Jews being together. I think that is such a great mystery, unless you've studied all the prophets, and then you realize that you pick up the fact that God is going to pull in the Gentiles in with the Jews. What happens to the country? Well, God still has his plans for the nation of Israel. And I hope to be home by then. That way, home. Our next study, by the way, on heaven. And I hope it's going to be a fun study for you, because that's kind of the way I've mapped it out. I haven't been there yet, so I can't tell you exactly what it's like. Anyway, so we'll have fun together. Trust me. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Are you exercising your gift? These are some things you have to think about. These people that Paul has mentioned, they've all been exercising their gift, either supporting Paul or teaching the word or whatever they were asked to do. Because someday you're going to be giving an account for what you've done. And that day needs to be a joyous one. And but what an awesome thought to think that your name could be written down in glory in this book. And I remember when I was a brand new Christian, I thought, you mean my name's been in there since before creation? How special. How special of God. And that's what I want to challenge you with today. Do you know that your name is written down in the book of life? Just think about that. The book of life. So, but I had a picture in the back of my mind that the Lord could open that up and there would be my name. And I think, oh, how special of God to do that. But that's how much He loves you and how much He wants you to follow Him and pour out your energy and your strength into what He wants you to do. So, do you know that your name's down in glory forever? How special. If you don't, you get to take home the Roman road with you today, and you can go back over it, and you can sign your name. And I would urge you, in your back of your Bible, is to put a date and a name and your name and say, Lord, this is the day I gave my life to you, so that the enemy of your soul can't come around and say, well, see, how do you know, God doesn't love you that much. God loves other people, but not you. No, you don't listen to that voice. He loves you. You may have been through hell to come to that point of knowing that God loves you. But to have your name written down there, you have a worry in the world. You have nothing to fear. God has a hold of you. And He has your name. And you're going to be with Him forever. And heaven's going to be a blast. We will have a wonderful time. It won't be like this, where you run into sin, you run into anger, and you run into, everything and everything. And you think, what a place. But the best is yet to come. So, is your name written down in glory? You know, Simon of Cyrene went into Jerusalem that day to celebrate the Pentecost. Wasn't even thinking about Christ or what was happening in the street. And he gets dragged in to carrying the Lord's cross. And we find out by this lesson that his whole family had come to the Lord. How special. You just can't outgive God. He has so much more to give. So if you're not sure, you're not sure in your heart, go through the Roman road, get it written down in the back of your Bible, and don't let the enemy of your soul come around and tell you that there's anything different. If you don't know your gift, begin to find out what gift God has given you. Maybe it's going to be like Mary. You just have a pile of helps to help the church. Who knows? But it needs to be used. And maybe they'll write on your tombstone, Philologus, lover of the word. That's what I'd like to be known as, lover of the word. And there was a day I didn't know anything about the word. I wouldn't have known the difference between Psalms and Job or any of that, because that's how I pronounced them. And the Lord's taken me and He's worked with me. I still don't have today's list too well, but that's a tough one, because you have Hebrew and you have Romans or Latin, and you've got Greek names here. So that was kind of tough. But I hope you feel different about your name. Lord, how precious it is to know that our names can be written down in your book of life, never to be erased, never to be taken out, that you so knew us before creation, you wrote those names down. And that's why you came. That's why you came on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday to take away our sins, to die for those. And how much you love us, that those are never held against us again, ever. They're gone as far as the east is from the west. You did it all for us, Lord. May we come to grips with that love. May we just absorb ourselves in it. And when the enemy comes around and says, well, this is bad or this is bad, and you just say, the Lord's got that. The Lord is in my life. He's taking me through that. I don't worry because the Jesus Christ has it. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that isn't sure about that, they would take that Roman road and make sure of it. May they not go into Easter not knowing. And then we'll give you all the praise, Lord, for how you've taken each of us, especially myself, who have never opened a Bible, and you've worked with me and worked with me, and I praise you for that. I thank you, Lord, for my great salvation. What a precious gift that is. And to think that we're going to be for all eternity with you, Lord. We just can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be so special. Get us ready for it, Lord. For we ask this in your precious Son's name, in Jesus Christ, God Almighty's name. We love you today, Lord. And we want to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen.